Today we're talking about the God of the Old Testament. We're continuing our series, The God of the Old Testament. And our topic today is timing is crucial. Timing is crucial. We were at Six Flags about a month and a half ago, and every time James, David, and I went to get on a ride, we were there at just the right time. And, I mean, we would get up there and they would cut it off and they'd let everybody that's going to ride, and then he and I would get to pick which seat we wanted to. We were like the front of the line. We would go up to a ride and everyone else was not there, and we'd just be able to get on the ride, and we were like, wow. But behind us, all of a sudden, it was lined up. Timing was impeccable that day. We could not go wrong, could we? Everything was just perfect on that day. But then a few weeks later, we went back to Six Flags, and John Michael and I talked about this. Our timing was off all day long. Everything that we went to do, we'd stand in line for a while, and all of a sudden the ride would shut down. We wouldn't get to ride it. We'd try to go to the bathroom, and somebody was cleaning the bathroom, and they said, no, we're going to be here for a while. I don't know what happened in there, but they were going to be there for... We'd have to walk forever to go find a bathroom just to wash our hands. Everything that we came across was just wrong that day, wrong timing. So in our lives, how many of you have ever felt like that in life? You just feel like the timing is off. You get on the highway and you find yourself stuck on the highway. You're in this lane and that lane is going and that lane is going. And finally you move into one of those and the middle lane is going. That's the way things happen in life sometimes. And it's very frustrating. As Christians, we have the option to decide to believe that it is more than bad luck. We have the option to believe something different, another story. Instead of just believing that it's bad luck, instead of just believing that everything's not going my way and this is my life, this is the way it is, we've got to reroute our thinking to think something different. We've got to reroute our thinking to our faith. We can believe differently than this as Christians. Instead of just getting angry and let distractions in life ruin our day, we can let God begin to encourage us that there might be something else going on. God might be actively involved in our day in getting me where He wants me to be, doing what He wants me to do. Now, we have the alternative to believe that God is working on our protection, our purpose, and placement in His timing. That's an option that we have in our lives. Our protection, our safety, our purpose, and placement in His timing. That's a whole different story than just everything's falling apart. Everything's not going my way. Everybody else gets what they want, but not me. That's a whole different story than that. Sometimes God protects us with timing, doesn't He? I lost my keys this morning, therefore I missed an accident. And sometimes you don't know that you missed an accident. Sometimes you just frustratingly go to work and you did not know what God protected you from. Other times God has His purpose and His placement in our minds. He wants us at a specific place for a specific purpose. And we've got to trust Him for that. We pray for God's interaction with us every day, don't we? We pray for that. We want God to interact with us every day. And timing is one of the big ways that He interacts with us. Now let that sink in. Timing is one of the big ways God interacts with you throughout the day. Just the other day, I was about to leave one of my locations. And before I pulled out, the Holy Spirit said, you're not done. You need to go back to this other building. Well, other chaplains take care of that other building. So I hadn't been back there for a while, but I go back there just to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I just hadn't been back there. And the Holy Spirit said, nope, you need to go back there and check on what's going on. Well, what that tells me is something is going on back there. So I walked in. I started shaking hands, saying hi to everybody. How things going? You guys getting to know the chaplains, that kind of thing. And all the while, I'm thinking somebody here needs something. Well, it wasn't very long before I found it. One of the ladies, her 6-year-old niece, had died the day before. And that is how God works, His timing, His placement, His purpose. He wants to put you where you need to be at just the right time. God knows where His people are, and He knows where He needs them to be. He knows where you are, and He knows where you need to be. You've asked Him for His interaction in your life, but really, is that what we wanted when we asked Him for it? Oftentimes, He takes us where we did not know we needed to go. He takes us where we don't want to go sometimes. And we need to relax and let our God interact and lead us where He wants us to be when He wants us to be there. The other day, I got on an elevator and my security card wouldn't work. It had been working all morning. It just wouldn't work. And I was like, man, this is crazy. And I stopped and I said, okay, God wants me to be somewhere at just the right time. Went down the elevator, got off, waited for that one to go back up, pushed the button, got on another elevator, swiped my card, and it worked perfectly. Went up and was watching and waiting. Just the right time, walked up to somebody who was standing there. Could not believe the timing that I walked into their office and said, you know what, I'm struggling because one of my friends right now, I believe, is suicidal and I don't know what to do. Walked them through it, got 911 on the phone, all of that. God took over. God's timing, God's placement, God's purpose, just at the right time. It's important for us to recognize that our lives, we belong to God. He is your employer. He is who you work for. The only reason you have that job is to do what God has called you to do there. The only reason you have that house that you live in, wherever it is that you live, the only reason you're there is because God has something for you to do there. You're a child of God, and you've got to start seeing yourself from that perspective. God has a purpose and reason for everything that you have done, that you have in your life. There's a reason for it. There's a time for it. The only reason you go to that store to restock is because somebody's there that you need to talk to. And when you start seeing your life from His perspective, I'm going to the store right now. Maybe God has somebody there for me to encourage. Maybe God has somebody there for me to speak to, for me to give a smile, for me to shake a hand. The only reason that you go to work isn't just to pay your bills. It's to do what God has called you to. You see, God's timing is no coincidence, is it? The God of the Old Testament was on a huge schedule. The God of the Old Testament was on a huge schedule. He had a date to meet. There was a specific time, a specific day, a specific month, day, and moment in history that God had to have the Messiah at that location with all of the people yelling and screaming and hanging Him on a cross. And it happened to be, from what we can figure out, April 3rd, 33 AD. There was a solar eclipse that took place at 3 o'clock that afternoon. And that happened to be the day before Passover, when Jesus was crucified. That makes most logical sense. April 3rd, AD 33. Pretty interesting, isn't it? God, in the Old Testament God, had that date in mind when He had to go through everything He did with the Israelites. He had to deal with it. Planet Earth needed to be created at a specific time and all of the solar system put into place for that moment, and God had to work on the timing for that specific thing to take place at that time. And Genesis 15 and 16 records a story of Abram and Sarah trying to have the promised baby. And it's from this baby that the Israelites would be born. And eventually the Messiah would be born and birthed. He would be birthed and crucified by these people of this baby that they were going to have. Thousands of years later, God had promised Abraham that He would be the father of a great nation. And at this time in chapter 15, nothing had happened and nothing was happening to help them to believe that it was actually going to come to pass. This was God's plan. This was His purpose. This was God's timing. He was waiting for the right time because He had April 3rd, AD 33 in mind, if truly that is the date. One day, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. It says, and God said, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward will be grand." God came to him because he knew that Abram was getting frustrated. He knew that Abram was wondering, when is this going to come to pass? Not just Abram, but Sarah was as well. And God was trying to reassure Abram, listen, I know I'm slow in getting this done, but you can relax. You can just wait. It's going to come to pass. Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward will be grand. Abram and Sarah had been waiting and waiting for this child, but Sarah was barren. They were getting older and older, and it seemed like it was never going to come to pass. They were beginning to believe that the child would never be born. That instead of being able to believe in God, they believed the child was not going to be born. Now, Abraham responded to God, and he said, God, Master, what use are your gifts as long as I'm childless? And Eliezer of Damascus is going to inherit everything that you've given me. Abraham continued. It says, see, you've given me no children, and now a mere house servant is going to get it all. One of his servants was going to get everything God had given him. You've given me no children, God. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for the promise to come to pass. Abram was really saying, God, your timing is off. God, your timing is off. Sarah and I are old now. There's no way it's going to come to pass. This son, my servant Eliezer, is going to get the money. He's going to get the land that you've given us. Your timing is off, God. In Genesis 15:4, then God's message came. Don't worry. He won't be your heir. A son from your body will be your heir. He says, Abram, don't give up. Believe. God then took Abram outside and he said, see the stars in the sky? What was he doing? He was asking him to imagine. See the stars in the sky? I want you to imagine that you're going to have that many children behind you. Imagine it. I want you to see it. I want you to believe it, like we did earlier with our church family. He says, I want you to imagine it. Imagine that that's what we're going to have. The scripture says that in that moment, something happened inside of Abraham. Abram believed. It was like a switch flipped. Instead of believing that the child was never going to come to pass, he believed that it was going to happen. He believed God. And because he believed God, God declared him to be righteous. What does that mean? It means set right with God. It means in alignment with God. I got in alignment with him is what happened with Abram. Something happened when he believed God. He became in alignment with God, set right with God. And when you believe what God says, something changes inside of you that causes you to have faith, and you begin to live based on that belief, based on that faith. You begin to live based on it. Now, your life suddenly has other explanations when you believe God. Let that sink in. Your sickness, your struggle, your seemingly off time suddenly has other explanations when you believe God. When you believe God, when you have God as the Lord of your life, He causes you to be places at the right time doing what He wants done for your life. I remember one time my dad ended up in the hospital and he was able to minister to one of the nurses. She would not have ever been able to be ministered to by anybody, especially at that time, had my dad not been at the hospital at just that moment. It's amazing what God will use our lives for, our struggles for, even our sickness for. God will use those things. God's timing, His placement, His safety, His protection, everything He wants to do in our life has to do with His plan and His will. Your life suddenly has other explanations. Instead of the bad things just happening to you, you see purpose. You see placement. You see protection in your movements. In the spring of 2017, Angela and I started talking about going on vacation. And you all know Angela, she loves the beach. So I started trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to do this? And financially, it was going to be a real stretch. It was going to be more than a stretch. And one day, I was just about to go to Angela and tell her, look, we're not going to be able to do vacation this year. We're going to have to wait. And as I got up to go, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, stop. Don't do it, you're going to go. I had no idea at that time what God was really about to do. I trusted Him. I felt uneasy about it, but He would give me a peace all along the way. So finally we left and we went and we were having an amazing time. But early in the morning, a few days into our vacation, there was a storm that came through this area. And you guys know the story. Lightning struck our house. Had it not been for me saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust Your timing and I'm going to trust in Your provision, we would have been in the house that morning and had a lot of different memories from what went on. You know, we have to trust His voice. We've got to learn His voice. We've got to know His voice. But we also have to trust in His timing. You see, God knew way far in advance that that storm was going to come through and strike that house. He knew that. We got to trust Him with our lives. What's interesting is the condo reimbursed us the rest of our stay immediately. I called them on the way home because I had had insurance on our trip, and I was going to get the receipts so that we could get reimbursed through our insurance. And they said, oh, no, we've already reimbursed you. On the way back home, they had already reimbursed us. I didn't even have to afford the trip that God said you need to go on. Isn't that great? I just needed to be there for that moment so that what needed to happen, what had to happen, could happen, all in God's timing. You see, when you believe God like Abram did, everything has purpose and meaning. God was asking Abram to believe He had good things in store for him, even though he couldn't see it at the moment. God was asking him to, and Abram did. He said, I believe God. I believe You. Because when you believe God, you live different because of it. You walk in faith. You trust Him. For those who are single, you have to believe God has one out there one day so that you can live a marriable life, right? If you're not believing that that person is out there today, you're not going to live a good life. If you're in debt, you're stuck in a bad job, if you don't believe God is going to promote you, you're going to live irresponsibly. If you're in that bad job and you don't believe God is going to help you get to the next level, if you begin to do things His way, you're just going to live stuck in that situation. You're not going to do the best. You're not going to try to reach out. You're not going to try to work outside of your comfort zone. If you're stuck in your finances and see no light ahead, what's going to happen? Every time you just get $50 or an extra $200, you're going to go blow it at the casino or something stupid with it. Or you're just going to blow it on pizza. Instead of investing it, making sure that you're putting it where it needs to go, you're just going to blow that money. When you believe God has a good future for you, when you believe God has purpose for today, when you believe that timing is involved, God's timing, God's plan, God's purpose, God's protection, when you believe that, you're going to live God's way today, a life of faith. When you don't believe, we don't have hope, and we squander it. We squander the moment. When Abram believed God, something changed on the inside of him. When Abram believed God, something changed on the inside of him. A switch flipped. He knew God was going to do it. It had been a long and difficult time for Abram and Sarah. They had lived on the property that God finally gave them after wandering for many, many years in the wilderness themselves, ended up in Egypt and all kinds of different places. Finally, 10 years, they had lived on this property that God had given them. They had left their home, their family, their friends, and wandered around, nothing to show for it except for now this piece of property that they're sitting on in the promised land. But they certainly had no baby. And that's where the promise really was. They had lived there for 10 years, waiting. God, when is this going to happen? God, why haven't You done this yet? God, we're getting old. The timing of this is off. We need You to come through. We need You to get this done. God, I don't want to raise a kid when I'm in my hundreds. This is horrible. You can imagine the things that they're saying. And then you can hear the servants talking about them. Yeah, they believe God's going to give them some kid. And you can hear the one servant kid that's going to inherit everything. I sure hope God doesn't come through with it because I get everything if He doesn't. But you can hear them talking about it. Yeah, those people, yeah. You can hear them just whispering with each other. They believe God's going to do this. She's too old. She's never going to get pregnant. Their God hasn't done anything for them up to this point except for give them this land. Why would He do anything now? Why would He change anything tomorrow? You see, humans fail to consider the timing factor of God's work. We fail to consider that. To show Abraham how committed he was, this is beautiful. God made a covenant with Abram. To show him how committed he was, because he didn't want Abram to give up on hope. God knew that Abram was falling away. He was starting to believe that this was never going to come to pass. And God said, now look, this is how serious I am. I'm going to make this commitment to you, and I'm going to make a covenant. Here's what you need to do. I want you to go get a cow, a goat, and a ram, each of them 3 years old. And I want you to get a dove and a young pigeon. And I want you to sacrifice them. I want you to cut the cow and the goat and the ram down the middle. And I want you to lay them opposite each other. You see, this was how a covenant was made in the day. If it was a serious enough covenant, this is how it was made. Because the death of those animals, walking between those two animals, meant when I walk between these two animals, I'm making a covenant, and my life is going to count on it. My life will be taken if I will pay for the breakage of this covenant with my life. That's what the death of those animals meant. Abraham did it as quickly as he could, but his timing was a little bit off. If you read it, his timing was a little bit off because he killed the animals, laid them out, and it was a hot afternoon. God had not told him when he was going to come and do this. All he said was, go do it. Abram did it really quick. And the scripture says that while the animals were laying there baking in the afternoon, it says vultures swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram scared them off. Can you imagine the sight? Abram is about to have this great moment with God. He's got these animals lined up, and he's waiting for God to show up. And all of a sudden, the birds in the air start swooping down. Vultures start coming. He's out there, and he's trying to get them away. You ever been on the beach, and they're trying to come get your Cheetos? It's bad. They're coming down. They're trying to get to him, and he's getting them out. And he's like, God, when are you going to show up? The vultures have shown up. This is bad. This is frustrating. What a hilarious moment in Scripture. I find it funny. Abram obeyed, but he didn't know God's perfect timing. Why? Because God didn't give it to him. You can imagine how frustrated he was at the moment, trying to keep the vultures from coming and eating his sacrifices. And these animals were very, very important to him. They were very important to God as well. Abram knew it. He had to protect them. And he did. He did his responsibility. It was a very frustrating thing. If only God had said, Abram, get the animals and have them ready when sundown comes, then I'll meet with you. It would have been great. No problem, God. But God didn't give him that detail. Then he wouldn't have been off on his timing, would he? But God didn't give him that. God let Abram deal with the vultures. Now, often we think God's delay is God's desertion. We think God's delay is God's desertion. It's not. God didn't desert you. You just may not have waited long enough. The vultures of life came and you thought God had abandoned you. He didn't. He just let you fight the vultures. Why? Only He knows. Maybe it was to build your character. Maybe it was to strengthen you. Maybe it was so that you'd appreciate him a little bit more when he showed up. I don't know. You need to remember that God may be slow, but he's always on time. He may be slow, but he's always on time. God still has a deadline to meet. Jesus is going to come again. Jesus is going to come again. He's got a deadline to meet. And we're a part of that process. And we've got to trust Him with our lives today. We've got to trust Him for His timing today. God never has deserted you. He just hasn't shown up yet. And you need to remember that. Just because the vultures have come to devour doesn't mean that He isn't going to show up. In fact, you'll find that He will strengthen you to fight the vultures, to ward them off. He'll encourage you in the process, as He was with Abraham. So many times through the years, Angela and I have been, we felt like we had vultures coming, circling around us, just waiting to dive in. And recently we played the Monopoly game with the kids. It's called Monopoly Cheaters. Y'all ever seen that one? It's really interesting. You get to cheat. Legally cheat. It's really funny. If you want to find out who among you is saved, play this game. In fact, if God were to ever take vacation up in heaven and say, hey guys, I'm going to let you guys be in charge, decide who gets to come in and who doesn't. There you go. I'm going on vacation. If God ever did that, this is the game He would have everybody sit down and play, because it would show who's saved and who's not really quickly. Y'all know I'm teasing. The worst comes out of us, even with such a game. It's hilarious. When someone starts to win, how big they feel. They're sitting there counting their 500s. I've got. They're feeling good. The smugness is on their face. Look at you losers. Y'all don't have any money. I've got all the prop. This is wonderful. And then you look over at the person that's losing the worst. And, you know, they keep landing on people's hotels. They keep landing themselves in jail. Oh, here I go again. I don't get to pass go again. And you can see their shoulders are dropped. They're hurt. They're angry. The depression sets in. And it's a game. It's a horrible game. Yeah. But there's all these, you know, and everybody's sitting around the table. What are they doing? They're like vultures. When it's your turn, everybody's waiting to see if you land on their hotels again. What's amazing about this game is really all it takes is one break, one good break, and suddenly the table turns. Y'all ever been there in that game? I saw it with James David the other day. All of a sudden, the tables turned, and every now and then you get to steal someone else's property, and he kept stealing it from me. I wasn't giving it to him. The vultures may be circling, but like Abram, God has an appointment with you, and He's going to keep it. You may not know what time He's going to show up, but you better have what He said to prepare ready. You don't know when, you don't know the time, you don't know the day, but you know He's coming. And He says, I want you to prepare. You know, through the years, people have asked me, John, how long are you going to stay at it? How long are you going to keep trying? How long are you going to keep trying to do what you're doing with this church? It's too small, it's too this and too that. God keeps giving me the strength. All I know is, one day, He's going to show up, and I got to be ready. And you got to be ready. As the sun went down, a deep sleep came over Abram. And then a sense of dread, dark and heavy. What a great description. God told Abram about his descendants going into slavery for 400 years. And that how one day they'd be delivered during that deep sleep. And then it says, when the sun was down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch moved between the split carcasses. That's when God made a covenant with Abram. I'm giving this land to your children from the Nile River in Egypt to the River Euphrates in Assyria. This covenant was made by God to Abram. The dead carcasses were symbolic, as I said, to say that if this covenant was broken, the one who walked between the dead carcasses would have to pay for breaking it with their own life. That's what this covenant meant. The symbolism of the smoking fire pot and flaming torch is wildly, wildly speculated. But here's what we do know. It was obvious that God was making a covenant with man, and Jesus was the one carrying the fire pot and the torch. How do we know that? Because He's the one that walked between there. How do we know that? Because God sealed it by walking between those animals that were dead in the blood that spilled from them down into the... He'd walk between them. He did not have Abram do the same. It was only God that walked between the animals. It was God's covenant to us. It was His commitment to Abram. This was a one-sided covenant, and the real promise of God is His passing through the dead carcasses, that if He breaks the covenant, He would have to pay for it with His own life. You see, God was saying, I'm not going to do this. I am going to do this, Abram, no matter what you do. This is My will. This is My covenant. This is what I'm going to do no matter what you do. Abram, if you fail, if you miss the mark, if you mess this up, this is My covenant. I'm going to bring this to pass anyway. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the sands of grains on the beach. That's what I'm going to do, Abram. I'm going to commit this to you with My own life on the line. The only way that I will break this covenant is if I die. That's what Jesus did. Jesus paid the price, God's way, out of this covenant, and at the same time established a new one with all of us. Isn't that awesome? Abram believed God, but God didn't say for sure that it would be Sarah's son. Although it should have been assumed, because Sarah was his wife, what God said was this: a son from your own body will be your heir. So Sarah twisted that. It should have been assumed it was going to be her son. But she was barren. She said, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." In other words, God has said a son is going to come from you, but Abram, I'm not a part of the promise, apparently. And she decided to not believe. Sarah counted herself out. She quit believing. She caused Abram to make one of the greatest mistakes in his life. And our world is still dealing with that mistake today. You see, Sarah and Abraham have a son. Abram had a son with Hagar, her servant. And that son's name was Ishmael. And Ishmael grew up, and through his offspring came the one we know as Muhammad. And Muhammad, hundreds of years later, hundreds of years ago today, became the father of Islam, the Muslim religion. All because Sarah quit believing. And Abram took her advice. You see, the beautiful thing about God is Jesus died for them too, didn't He? God loves them too. And Jesus died for them too. And we get to love them as well. That's the beauty of the cross. But how many times have we given up on God because God didn't come right away, or God didn't come the way we wanted Him to come? How many times have we stopped doing things His way and we started trying to do His job? Ishmael caused all kinds of problems for Abram, and he still does. And when we don't wait for God's timing, God's way, we create our own Ishmaels. We get impatient. We listen to others when they're saying, "Well, if God is really blessing this, if God was really in this, then He would do this or He would do that." And we give in to the pressure to try to do God's job. And we have to be very careful that we don't do that. Joseph ended up in prison because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. Jacob had to run from his own family, and he never got to see his parents again because he stole what God said He would give to him. He didn't wait. God's timing, God's way. One day, King Saul was facing a huge battle with the Philistines. They were always fighting the Philistines. And the Philistines had all of their troops together, 3,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. And Scripture says that there were so many soldiers that they were like the sands of the along the seashore. They were on the beach. You know, that many soldiers that Israel's army was running for cover. They were scared. They were running into the caves. They were running into the ditches. And they were hiding themselves. And they were scared half to death. Saul was given orders to not do anything until Samuel came and offered a sacrifice, the prophet, Samuel the prophet. And Saul wasn't supposed to do anything. He wasn't supposed to go into battle. He had to wait 7 days until Samuel came and offered a sacrifice. Well, he waited and he waited. He kept seeing his guys going away. The army kept going away. They kept saying, all right, we're too afraid. We're going to get killed. This is bad. The more that left. And Saul was becoming more afraid as his army was dwindling down. After 7 days, he finally said, you know what? I've waited and waited, and I'm not going to wait anymore. Bring me the sacrifice, and I'm going to make it. He made the sacrifice, and as soon as he did, Samuel showed up. And what did Samuel do? He said, that was a fool thing to do. If you had kept the appointment that your God had commanded, God had an appointment for him. By now, God would have set a firm and lasting foundation under your kingly rule over Israel. As it is, your kingly rule is already falling to pieces. God is out looking for your replacement right now. This time, He'll do the choosing. When He finds him, He'll appoint him leader of his people, and all because you didn't keep your appointment with God. God had an appointment for him, and he didn't keep it. He said, I would have blessed you. If you had just waited and not done it your own way, I would have been able to set you firmly into your position. Noah waited on God for 100 years, and we're so glad that he built the ark. He trusted in that appointment that God had for him. Rain is coming. Queen Esther was patient and let God lead her to a place of influence as with the king. Job was patient and he waited for God to vindicate him and his life. He was patient. All the while he was covered with boils and his whole life had been wiped away. All of his possessions, everything just gone. His kids, his family, all of them wiped off of planet Earth. And he waited and waited and waited for God to vindicate him. And God did, didn't he? Joseph learned to wait on God after he got his mouth in trouble. Got in trouble with his mouth. He waited on God for 13 years and he learned how to keep his mouth shut, didn't he? Jesus was the greatest example, though, of God's timing and understanding God's timing in his life. All throughout his life, he would say things like, my time has not yet come. And there were two times specifically that Scripture records that Jesus had stones picked up and were going to be thrown at him. He was going to be stoned to death. And he said, my time is not yet come. And Jesus just walked right out of there. And where did he go? My time has not yet come. It's important for us in our lives to recognize that God has timing. God has reasons for you to be where he wants you to be. Instead of just getting frustrated and angry with where you are, in any given situation, we can stop and we can relax and believe another story. I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. I'm on His agenda. I'm going to be put where He wants me to be today. I'm going to trust Him in that. When you ask for God, James David, would you come? When you ask for God and His interaction in your life, you're asking for His timing. You're asking for His timing. When you ask for a baby and you're a child of God, He's going to give it to you in His timing. We were so frustrated and hurt October 6th, 2000, when Angela lost a baby. It's a difficult day. But it wasn't God's time. He was. We wouldn't have Him had we not lost that baby. How many times in our lives have we just been frustrated and hurt. We didn't trust Him. Or we went out and did something that we shouldn't have done to take what it seemed like God wasn't willing to give. See, God is willing to give, but at just the right time. The question is, am I willing to be where He wants me to be, doing what He wants me to do? And if you are, you can also trust in His provision. You can also trust in His protection. Because God has His people in mind every moment of every day. And He's working on us. He's got a schedule for you. What if that whole traffic jam is just to get you where you're supposed to be that day? I believe it.